Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. I am so excited today, Christ Lutheran Church. This is such an honor and a privilege to be with you this morning and to share God's word. I'm excited today because it is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is one of my favorite of all of the Sundays of the year, all of the Sundays, special Sundays that we celebrate in the church year. Pentecost is right there next to a resurrection or Easter Sunday, as well as Ascension Sunday. I also really like there's something about All Saints Sunday, and of course Reformation Sunday, but All Saints Sunday really speaks to me. There's a beauty and a power about it. But I tell you what, today is Pentecost Sunday, and I'm excited. And this is because of what Pentecost represents. What Pentecost represents. Pentecost is so powerful and so meaningful. And so today what I like to share with you is the meaning and power of Pentecost. From our gospel lesson this morning, you will see, and I'd just like to read it again in your hearing. This is John chapter 15, verse 26 to 27. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, he's talking to his disciples, because you have been with me from the beginning. But I have said these things to you, John 16 and verse 4, I have said these things to you, that when the hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. What things? He said, I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. That's important. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. But now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. It's to your advantage. Because if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them all. When the Spirit of truth comes, however, when the Spirit of truth comes, though, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare to you all that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I say that he will take what is mine and declare to you. Such a powerful passage from our gospel reading. But the backdrop of this is Jesus, of course, has spent the last 3.5 years walking the face of the earth. Jesus, who John tells us was in the beginning with the Father, and nothing that is made was made without him. He is the same one who was in the beginning of the Father. He is the light of the world. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he has given the right, the authority, the power to become children of God, to become sons of God. And so it gets to a point where Jesus knows he's getting ready, that his hour has now come, and he's getting ready to be crucified. He's getting ready to go to the cross. And scripture tells us that he withdraws from the public eye and he's spending the rest of his days with just his disciples. And he's spending this time and he's pouring into them. He's teaching them. He's telling them what to expect and what is to come. And on this particular occasion, he's teaching them about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth that is going to come. He said, because here's the thing, I've been with you. Okay, and the cardinal lesson that Jesus is teaching his disciples and that he is teaching you and I today is that he is God. He is the same God who has always been for us. From the very beginning, from creation, we see that God is for us. Because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he did all these wonderful and marvelous things. All because of the crowning achievement of that creation, which is you and me. He did everything he did because of his love for you and me. So God has always been for us. God has always been for you. And don't let anybody ever tell you that God is not for you. From the very beginning of time, God has been on your side. And scripture tells us that if God be for you, who can be against you? Not even what can separate you from the love of God. Not even angels or demons or depths or not even you yourself or your sin and your shortcomings can separate you from the love of God. He said, I love you so much that I will pursue you. I will pursue you to the ends of the earth. If it means that I have to come down and give my life for you and die for you, that's how much I love you. And so we know that Jesus is teaching his disciples that God has always been for you. I've always been for you. I've been so much for you to the extent that I wanted to be with you. Even after you sinned and you rebelled against me, I still found a way to reach you. Sin could not separate you from me. And so I wrapped myself in flesh. And through 32 generations, we see that our Lord and our Savior comes down, and he comes and he is born in Bethlehem of Judea. Scripture tells us that Jesus is God with us. He is our Emmanuel. He said, I've been for you. Now I'm going to be with you. I'm a God. That he said, Hebrews tell us that we don't have a high priest that is not touched by the feelings of our infirmities, as he was tested at all points and in every way. We have a high priest who empathizes with us, who understands our pain, who understands our need and our shortcoming, because he himself has experienced it. He empathizes because he's been Emmanuel. He's tabernacled with us. He's been with us. So Jesus tells his disciples, I've been for you. I've been with you. He said, but now I must go. I have finished the work my Father sent me to do. I've completed the work. I've been to the cross. I've shed the only blood that could be shed. The only blood that qualified to redeem you has been given. And on the third day, scripture tells us that he rose with all power in his hand. And he showed himself to over 500 of his disciples. He spent 40 days showing and revealing himself and comforting his disciples. He said, but now I have to go. He said, I must go, because if I don't go, I cannot send you the Holy Spirit. He said, but once I go, the Spirit is going to proceed from the Father and the Son. And this Spirit, now the same God who has been for you and who has been with you, shall be in you. So when I send the Spirit, Spirit is not just going to be around you or with you. He said he's going to be in you. And this is the lesson. And so the scripture tells us in Acts chapter 2 that Jesus fulfills this promise. The lesson we learn here is that we serve a God who is a promise keeper. We serve a God who fulfills every promise that he makes from the beginning of time until now. If God said it, he's going to do it. He is a promise keeper. He is a covenant keeping God. He fulfills the promise that he makes. He said that I will come in flesh. I will wrap myself in flesh and I will be your high priest. I will come and I will be your lamb who takes away the sins of the world. And he did just that by sending Jesus Christ to come and take away our sins. He said, but I'm not finished yet. He said, I'm going to ascend to the Father because there's coming a time. He said, the first time I came as a servant, the first time I came as a suffering servant. He said, but this time I'm going to return as a conquering king, and I'm going to come back and I will consummate the kingdom and I will wrap everything up and I will close the window on history. He said, but before I do that, I must ascend to the Father, where I will be seated at the right hand of the Father forever, making intercession for you. But that you know, so that you know, that I would never leave you nor forsake you, so that you know that you have a guarantee that you are a part. I know my word is good for it, because I've never spoken a word, I've never made a promise that I haven't kept. He said, but so that you know, so that you're comforted in this, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will be in you. So when you have hard days, when you have difficult days, when it seems like I'm nowhere to be found, when it seems like you cannot see me, or I'm not around, or you can't feel me, know that you have my Spirit. You receive that Spirit at your baptism. He said, but before you receive the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, it said, when the day had finally come, that's the day he fulfilled that promise. That's the day he inaugurated the church. He said, when the day had fully come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Of course, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews and devout men and people from all over the known world. And the people began to hear them speaking in their native tongues and say, aren't these Galileans? How is it that they're speaking in our native tongues? But this was a miracle that God performed on that day, letting the rest of the world know that his Spirit had come, that his Spirit has been poured out. Joel tells us that in the last days, he says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, your handmaidens will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old man will dream dreams. I, the Lord God, will pour out my Spirit. And so Jesus promised, makes this promise, and is fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, as his Spirit is poured out. And the lesson we get from this here is that God who is for us, God who has been with us, can now be in us. God is in us. He is our guarantee. Scripture says that he is our earnest, according to Ephesians 1 and 14. Apostle Paul says he is, the Holy Spirit is an earnest, a down payment, a guarantee on the fact that we have an inheritance in Christ, that you and I one day will reign and rule with him, that we are joint heirs together with Christ in eternity. God is our portion. The eternal life is our portion. And God is saying, the way, he said, not only am I going to give you a guarantee and an earnest. And so this is the interpretation of Pentecost. Pentecost had always existed, had always been a festival that the Jews celebrated at a particular time of the year. But God said, this time I'm going, Jesus said, this time I'm going to change the meaning of it. I'm going to give you a new interpretation of what Pentecost means. It's not just another festival. It's just not another celebration. But this time, it is going to represent the outpouring of my spirit. Because you see, in the Old Testament, the Pentecost celebration represents the children of Israel coming to Mount Sinai at the foot of the mountain, and God giving them his law, giving them the Ten Commandments. And it tells us that on that day, 3,000 of them died because of disobedience. But Jesus said, I'm going to change that interpretation. I'm going to turn it around, because in me, all things are fulfilled. In me, all things have a new meaning. In me, it is a new day. It is a new hour. And the new meaning of it is that on this day, on Pentecost, 3,500 years ago, 3,500 years ago, 3,000 died. The scripture says on this day, 3,000 were added to the church after Peter gave the interpretation of what this truly meant and what Pentecost truly represents. 3,000 souls were added to the church on that day. And the church, God's instrument in the world, God's agency for change in the world, was birthed. And since that day, the Spirit has been with us. Spirit has been among us. Not only that, but the Spirit has been in us. And so that Spirit you receive at the time of your baptism, he said, I pour out my Spirit and I came to be with you. I came to be in you. And the boldness of it is for your comfort as your advocate, so that you know that I am with you always, and I am Christ in you, your hope of glory. I am Christ in you, your hope of glory. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. God bless you and keep you. And may you forever know that God is in you. In Jesus' name. Amen.